Okay, welcome to episode 8 of the TryGames.net podcast. I am your host, Austin, a.k.a. Mr. Chupon. As usual, I'm here with the three idiots by my side. Ethan.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
Jackass. Alfred.
Huh?
Jackass. Tony.
Yeah.
I love you.
Jackass.
We're going to do what we did last week and take one topic and kind of just focus on it for the duration of this 45-minute movie. One of the things that we want to talk about was the PC/console line, specifically, you know, where do you draw the line between the two, especially given Ken Kutaragi's comments about how the PS3 is a computer, for tax purposes, of course. And another just constant debate is, which one is better? Which one do you choose? Why do you like it better? This should be a good opportunity for us to draw some blood and clod each other's eyes. So,
I just have one question.
You may ask the question, and I don't know if I can answer it.
And that is, if he's marketing this as a computer, are we slowly phasing out the video game aspect of it? I mean, like the, you know, doing away with the video game console idea. Is that what we're going to now?
That is a very good question, and my only answer is that Ken Kutaragi is very short.
Good answer.
No, seriously. I mean, his whole thing is, you know, what's it called? Consolidation. I forgot what the damn word is called, but basically bringing all the entertainment mediums together in a goddamn single hub.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he started it with the original PlayStation.
You know, I think that's called a computer.
No, another word. He tried it with the original PlayStation. You remember his big selling point was, oh, you know, this could play audio CDs too, not just games. So, you know, that was the start.
Yeah, well, big whoop. So did the, you know, Sega Saturn. So what's the deal?
Right,
and
but
Sega CD.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know, and the thing is, he was really pushing for. I mean, the way that they marketed it and pushed for it was, this is a game console. Oh, by the way, you can play CDs. This time it was like PlayStation. We called it the PlayStation because you could play anything, music and games. It's all in one hub, and you know, convergence. That's the word, convergence. And then they started it with the Xbox 360 too. They were like, you know, download your movies from your Windows Media Center PC, link it up to your Xbox 360, watch it on your high def screen, attach your iPod to it, even attach your PSP to it. Look at photos, look at movies, listen to music. Oh yeah, and play Gears of War once in a while you're at it, and get online. So I mean, that all comes from, you know, Ken Kutaragi from Sony saying this from the beginning, like, we want to make this an again, that's the reason why he called it the PlayStation.
Yeah, but I mean, it is stupid because it's nothing new. I mean, you could do this on your computer. All he's doing is just putting a computer tagline on it.
I think the thing he's trying to do is one of the things that people are saying is, hey, $600 for a PS3, what the hell is wrong with you? Oh, no, it's not just a game console, it's a computer, so you're getting $600. You're paying $600 and you're getting thousands of dollars worth of hardware, and you know, that was one of the things. And again, the second thing, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, but calling it a computer serves as a tax break for the European.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good point.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the other thing is just, you know, him trying to boast the machine. And mind you, this just happens to be. We just happen to be talking about Sony again because they're really at the forefront of this. Microsoft's doing it too. So, and I guess so. The question of where do we cross the line? I mean, does anyone want to offer their thoughts first?
I would like to say that if he's doing this, I think it would be much easier instead of making a whole unit and calling it a computer. Why doesn't he just take a VAIO and just put the hardware necessary to read games? You know, and just sell the VAIO as a PlayStation VAIO, combination. I mean, then maybe I'd you know, feel a little more comfortable about buying it because it is a computer.
Probably because of brand recognition. You know, you got the VAIO, which is the computer that people buy so that they can, you know, use a computer.
Right.
And you have the PlayStation, which is this huge multinational image of video gameplay, and if you were to combine the two, it's like kind of combining something that's really great with something that's just not
it
so great.
It seems that's what he's, you know, going to trend to anyway, so just get it over with.
Well, because VAIO would take away from PlayStation's importance in the world.
A lot of it has to do with that branding. Yeah, I mean that's a good point. A lot of this stuff is brand recognition. Let's take your proposal of just taking the Vio hardware, like the computer in the box, and sticking the PlayStation hardware in there.
Yes.
I mean, it really doesn't really serve that much of a purpose so much. I mean, there are technical aspects that, you know, right now my brain's too fried to even think about. But, I mean, well, first of all, and I guess this is, I guess I'll be the first one to answer where you cross the line and what defines the two, is that a video game console is, you know, traditionally known as a custom piece. Not when I say custom, I don't mean in the sense that we build our computers and customize them.
When I say
custom, I mean oriented towards video game play.
Right.
Customized for playing video games. One standard of hardware that's specifically made to make these games run. and when you standardize this type of stuff, you know, you get economies of scale where you can manufacture the same hardware a million times over, and that's why you can sell a video game console that's as powerful as a PS3 or the Xbox 360 for under $1,000.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily rely on an operating system like Windows to power through your files.
Right.
Okay. On a superficial standpoint, you don't stick a keyboard and mouse on it and start browsing the web, although this is one of the things that looks like it's going to be changing.
Right.
You can't really customize it so much because then that defeats the purpose of having a standard with which developers can use to focus on games. Again, is it changing? It might be, because he's saying that you might be able to make this thing built to order. So, and then on the other side of things, you got the PC, which is, first and foremost, I mean, it's really hard for me to say first and foremost because, you know, a lot of people are probably like, hey, no, you're wrong. I use it for this and that. Mm-hmm. But it's first and foremost a productivity tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's in people's homes. I'm willing to bet, and I don't have statistics here, please don't shoot me, but I'm willing to bet that there are more PCs there are more households with PCs than a PlayStation. And when I say PCs, I mean bare bones, bottom line, I want to get on the internet and look at boobies kind of PC. Not I want to play games, not anything like I want to rip you, but somebody, anybody, everybody has, like, a computer, no matter how crappy it is, mm-hmm. it's sitting there, and it's right. there for the purpose of writing email, writing documents in Word, writing your resume, things like that. So
I would have to agree with that.
Right. So when you build upon that, then you can say, okay, I got my productivity tool, but I also want to do movies and make games and all that stuff.
Right.
Then you can build it up to your own specifications. You can customize it. You can upgrade it. As a productivity tool,
yeah.
it relies on an operating system to keep everything together. It's
right.
supposed to do many different things, not just play games. It's, you know, it's built for that. So the hardware can't necessarily be standardized as much.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into complicated things like running Windows on your Mac or running your Mac OS on Windows, which I hear is rumored to be able to happen. I don't know how. You know, things like that. So you're moving from the console, which is simplicity and standards, to the PC, which is versatile.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's a very, you know, simple way of putting it, but that's where I see the differences, and I think that Kutaragi is crossing this line here by saying that, well, it's not just a PlayStation, you can customize the size of hard drive you want.
Right.
Which is actually fine, because a hard drive is just one piece of equipment, right?
Well, you would want more memory anyway if they had to offer it. I mean,
right.
yeah.
Right.
That's fine, but
and then
you're saying built to order, like, you can, like, enhance a lot of things on it, right?
Yeah, and there are very few details about it that I've seen so far. It's like, okay, what exactly are we building here? What are we putting in here? Are you talking about putting in different memory card slots? Are you what?
Right.
Like, we don't even know, so I'm not quite sure what he's trying to say here.
Well,
so.
it that just brings up my original point that he's trying to do away with the word console. And, you know, it's just alienating a lot of gamers out there who actually wanted something just specifically that they could identify would play games, not something that they, you know, that's going to be new, they have to upgrade this every once in a while. You know, just if you wanted to make a game system that was upgradable, you put expansion slots on it like you've done with every other system before that, and if you had things available, the people would, you know, pick them up if they were so inclined to. The way this is going, they're going to have to pick up stuff for it eventually, because this is now a computer. You know, and now it obligates them to buy more Sony stuff. And hence, there is my problem. what exactly are we buying here? Are we buying a computer? Are we buying a game system? What are we doing? Are we doing away with the, you know, idea of game system?
It's androgynous.
I mean, like, serious, you know? I would like to also know, I believe I sent you guys an email saying that the Blu-ray CD player...
has been delayed, right?
Has been delayed and most likely will be delayed to the release date of PS3. Now, if they're having so much trouble with just the portable version of this, how does that make people feel safer about buying a computer slash console system?
Right. Just a remark on that really quickly. I think that it could possibly be a marketing tactic in that let's put a $600 PlayStation 3, which can also play Blu-ray discs, next to a dedicated Blu-ray player, which plays Blu-ray discs and nothing else. Blu-ray player costs $1,000, PlayStation 3 costs $600. Which one should you buy first? You know? And if you look at... Again, I really wish I had the numbers here, because I don't like going on record and saying things like this without having the numbers, but I believe I read somewhere that, you know, the PlayStation division is one of the only, if not the only, profitable division for Sony in the past couple of years. So why not just stick your regular Blu-ray player out there, like, as kind of a sitting duck for $1,000 when you can promote your PS3, which is making you money? So that could be a reason why they're delaying it, although I'm not going to say that for certainty. And, you know, it's just conspiracy theory or whatever.
That sounds
but it's an interesting
plausible.
Thing to think
yeah.
about. Yeah. But, yeah, I wanted to say, Ethan, what are your thoughts on, like, where we draw the line and what defines one versus the other?
I think probably the biggest piece is what you mentioned when you were talking about versatility. Obviously, Sony's...
My brain is cold.
Clearly, their marketing department is seeing a hole in the market, and they're deciding that what they want to do is create a because high-end PCs can do everything. Those are the most versatile machines there are. They can run games at the highest resolutions and the fastest speeds, and they can do all your word processing and all that stuff. But they're not standardized. Those high-end PCs cost a buttload of money. And there aren't enough where they're batch processing it like in a console system where, you know, what Austin said, like it's just an assembly line full of parts and you get the economies of scale and you can really build those things cheaply. Sony may decide that they've got the infrastructure to build basically a really high-end PC, market it as a game console, and know that deep down, if there's enough processing power to run those games, it can also do all kinds of other production stuff. In addition, it allows them to keep it proprietary. So they can start selling this like Sony PC. Yeah, it's customizable, but in a limited way. It's only $600 if you consider that it's a kind of a high-end gaming PC, which is really cheap for something like that. And then maybe later they can slowly introduce some of the, you know, Microsoft kind of dominant Office applications, or maybe their own applications that will work with those things, so that everybody just buys, you know, their ideal world is every single person in the world, no matter what, you know, you want, whether it's games or productivity, buys this one box and that does everything for you, and it's all
huge.
Standardized and it's all cheap.
Yeah, that's a huge pipe dream. I would be hard-pressed to even consider that I'm going to walk into an office one day and they're just going to have nothing but PS3s, you know?
I agree. I'm not suggesting that, firstly, that it's plausible, or secondly, that it'll be a PS3, because that's a tough thing to market to, like, you know, Accenture, as I'm sure Austin knows. Like, you can't just say, you know, buy this video game system, deploy it across for all your,
exactly.
you know, accounting guys, and they'll run their accounting software on it.
Yeah.
Right, but you can start to see a movement towards this kind of generalized media unit. That plugs into your TV, and maybe then there's wireless throughout your house, and it's all like, I think, these little baby steps towards what everybody knows is coming, which is a much more portable wireless media thing that does everything, that sends video and audio everywhere, and that's, you know, it's somewhat respectable to see, like, kind of a movement towards that, but at the same time, Sony's handling it like they've handled a lot of stuff in the recent past where they're really forcing everything to be proprietary, and in that way, maybe they're trying to win the race in that sense and have Sony be the first unit that is that kind of all-in-one media center. But I don't know if it'll work or not. But I think that in terms of where the difference between PC and console is, I think it's probably at the point where the system It's tough because a game system or a productivity computer for $300 can't play games.
Right.
But a $2,000 Alienware decked out machine can certainly run Word.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference, I think, probably has to do with where the productivity piece comes in. Because game, I mean, where the, excuse me, where the game piece comes in. Because you can do productivity suite stuff on anything.
Mm-hmm.
You only really need hardware once you're playing games or right. running like stuff for NASA, where they're really requiring a buttload of processing power, and then you're not even talking about PCs, you're talking about something else. So it's probably where does the, you know, at what point can you play games on it, I think, is probably really the difference. That's kind of the only difference.
And that depends on what game you're playing. You know, because you could be playing something like Command & Conquer. Mm-hmm. And although Command & Conquer now is going toward the little 3D realm where you do need a little bit of processing power and you do need a dedicated 3D card, it's nothing compared to something like Half-Life 2 or Painkiller or Unreal Tournament 2007, whenever that comes out.
That's absolutely you know? Right.
And
that's
then you right. can do something like that and compare it to PlayStation 3, where you're going to have games coming out first gen that aren't going to be that graphically impressive as compared to what may be coming down in the year 2008.
You're right. So I think we need to qualify it to say that it's current with current first generation gaming. Otherwise, yeah. you're always going to, because my, like, if even if I found a 486 DX100 lying under my desk that's like 7 years old, I'll bet you I could play Pong on it.
Oh, of course.
So, the, you know, when you start getting into, like, the differences in, you know, when machines came out and what they can run, the only way you're going to really come up with a decent definition is by, I think you have to assume you're talking about first generation games. Otherwise, yeah, you run into that exact problem.
I would feel much more comfortable if Sony just released an add-on for your computer rather than marketing a computer. You know what I'm saying?
That's a little tougher, though. I mean,
yeah.
To, you know, put your processor is your processor. Your hard drive is your hard drive. Your bus is your bus. Those things, the speed of those things, it's tough to build just like an add-on that'll soup it up unless they're building like overclocking devices.
Mm-hmm.
Just a remark about that Pong remark. I take offense to that because Pong is very sophisticated. I mean, people in the House of Representatives play Pong. They know video games.
Good
I'm
point.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's
yeah, but
an
they also
point.
Made it illegal because someone killed somebody playing, you know, from playing Pong.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah, I jumped into teaches the people that they should throw balls at paddles.
And, I jumped into the hole because of
balls.
E.T.
Yeah.
Their balls.
Or if you miss a ball, you can't play anymore, so all, there are all yeah. these tennis players just dropping dead when they, you know, miss a shot.
What were you, I'm sorry about that. What were you saying?
No, I just think that probably, you know, the, in terms of the first, the so far it seems like one of the clearest ways to define where a PC and a console split is where the first generation game piece comes in at the time of development. You know, you got to take like I don't know, a 1 year development cycle, and you say, okay, within this year there are a bunch of first gen games. What can play these first gen games and what can't? And that's where you draw the line. Except again, you're going to wind up with these lower end PCs that no one would consider a console, and you'll wind up with consoles. Well, no, every console can play those first gen games. That's got to be somewhere close. Does that make sense? No.
I guess.
A little bit. I
mean,
kind of
like,
following you there.
Sure, like, okay, so you have, everything can run Word and general productivity things. View the internet, do your word processing, check email, these kind of general tasks that we associate with a computer. And then, after that, you have kind of first-gen games in the current development cycle. And where you draw the line in terms of a console and a PC is anything that can run those first-gen games is taking at least a step up from a low-end PC. And then you're talking about either a high-end PC or a console. So then drawing the difference between a high-end PC and a console is a way harder distinction, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
I don't have any insight there yet.
I'll think about it. Well, that's a very tough topic.
Well, at least, but I think we've clarified. Like, there is at least one split, and that is that low-end PCs. Yeah. There are PCs that simply can't play first-gen games, and those are definitely separated out into a separate category.
Right.
That's good. That's redundant, but it's good.
I just got a couple of interesting thoughts about this whole thing here. Is one of the things is it's surprising that Apple hasn't really stepped into the gaming waters as of yet. Because if you just take a look at the way that their products are versus the PC, where a PC is kind of like the result of Legos, you know. Apples are very, even though Apple has very many models of computers, I mean, you think about it, a lot of them are mostly standardized. Now, me not being a person from the Apple crowd, correct me if I'm wrong, I know that you can customize an Apple and stick a new video card in there. I just think, though, that the way that they put it out in the first place is very standardized, comes off the assembly lines, very, you know, kind of very, 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 I don't like to say rigid, because that's a harsh word that doesn't, you know, convey what I'm trying to say, but that would be the best word I can come up with right now. Very standardized. You know, high-end, you know, pretty, but standardized, for the most part. And then the other comment I wanted to make was way back in the kind of weird era of gaming where the Jaguar came out, and, you know, it was when the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis were beating out 64-bit systems because they were pieces of crap. You had the 3DO. If anybody remembers 3DO, not just as a software company now, which is what they were recently, but they used to make hardware. The 3DO console, it wasn't, you know, by a 3DO, made by 3DO. It was the Panasonic 3DO, the Sanyo 3DO, the Gold Star 3DO. They had different 3DOs because 3DO was a standard, but instead of having it manufactured by one person, they said, here's our standard, pay us a license, and you can manufacture this system for us. So it's just very weird how they kind of got all those manufacturers to do different things and pump. It's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like DVD players,
right,
where the DVD player is a certain minimum standard, and then everyone takes their own spin on it or something, I guess. I guess
they
the main
can add
thing
stuff to it.
Yeah, and I guess the main thing here for me is between the console and the PC is the fact that the console is the PC is inherently upgradable or interchangeable, not just upgradable, but like, you know, not just getting more powerful, but changing it out so it does different things, not just things more powerfully. You know, you really are able to change it, and not only is that an advantage, that's also a disadvantage in where, you know, there's kind of no standard to adhere to. I mean, that's why we get bugs with drivers and all that stuff. NVIDIA versus ATI versus Matrox versus 3D Labs, whatever the hell those last two are. different standards, different APIs, all the, you know, it from the development standpoint, it's very different. And I guess you're right, Ethan, in that the consumer, at the very end of the tunnel, if money is no object, really can't see a difference because, you know, you see, what's it? You see Call of Duty on the PC, you see Call of Duty on the Xbox 360. They're the same game. They're just on different platforms. They're the same game, and they're there. And I guess the last piece of difference is, well, one has a mouse and keyboard, and the other has a gamepad. But that's kind of superficial, if that makes any
sense.
It's
relative.
Sort of, but then I think it's, again, it gets back to versatility. Like, it's also about intended use, and I think you're exactly right in terms of a console. You really can't. You may be able to disassemble the piece, but there's no replacement parts really available for it. Whereas a PC, the whole point is that there's a whole bunch of different uses that you can use it for. It's not just for games. So it's got to be one of the main differences is just intended use. A console is made specifically for people to play video games. Mm-hmm. A PC is made specifically so that people could do whatever the fuck they want with it.
Well,
and
then,
that inherent in that is the upgradability in terms of parts, because one person who wants to do video editing can get high-end breakout boxes and high-end video cards and huge amount of space, and the person who's more interested in statistical software may increase their processor but not need, and their RAM but not need as much hard drive space, or they don't care about their video. So it's the versatility in what the intent is, I think, that's probably a big factor in the definition of the difference between the console and the PC. And then, again, where's and you're right, there are helpful things in terms of the standardized version because you don't have compatibility issues, and there are helpful things in terms of, you know, a wide range of use options.
I just wanted to say one thing, and that is what makes this not a computer instead of what I think it is, a customizable console that could just do computer stuff.
Right, that's a good question.
I mean, it's not going to, when it first comes out, it's definitely, I cannot foresee that they're going to make these parts interchangeable with, like, normal computer parts. Everything's going to be Sony-made. Everything's going to have to be bought exclusively through Sony brands.
Well, but let me just interject here. Apple does that, and they're still a computer, so.
Well, no, that's a huge difference. Apple is not calling itself a video game console. It's calling itself a computer.
Well, neither is Sony. That's the point. Or so they claim.
Well, yeah, but they're billing this as it. I mean, like, so where do, what is it exactly we're going for? I think it's just a upgradable console. That's
I think
it.
It's an amorphous blob.
Well, I think Tony's right. Like, that's exactly the question. What makes the PS3 not a computer? And in my mind, it's the lack of productivity software. And the lack
Agreed.
Of the ability to run it. Because if I... That's the point. Like, if
the
I
The lack
get,
of sanity.
The lack... Yeah. If I could get... I mean, given there are minimal upgradable pieces, which are only Sony, but that... Just because they're proprietary, I think, doesn't make it not a PC. Because otherwise, then you do have problems with, like, Apple stuff. Whereas you have to buy Apple hardware to run in Apple stuff... And that, but that doesn't make it like a not a PC. But what does make a PS3 not a PC, I think, is the fact that I can't just buy this one device and really use it as a what we've come to know as a personal computer, which will run standard office work types of stuff,
and also
accounting software,
yeah.
email software, you know, regular web, word processing. Oh, database software. None of it can run, you know, I'm sure you're not going to be able to, like, load an Access application or a spreadsheet. So I think that's probably the difference. And if they're eventually going for that, if that's why they're saying, you know, this is a PC, obviously it's not, but if that's at least a hint as to what maybe the PS4 is going to look like, it may be that the next version does have either their own version of an Office application, or they use, like, you know, Google-released spreadsheets and word processing and Outlook competitive software. Maybe it just links into stuff like that where it's all web-based and it really doesn't matter. I don't know.
Oracle on my HDTV, bitch! High-definition Oracle database!
That's
right. Because I need that shit. Because it's
right.
so necessary.
Pixels are going to be so
But, if I could buy a console for $600 that would run all my productivity shit... I'd have an interesting debate with myself over whether I was going to buy a high-end PC again.
Would you lose the argument with yourself?
I probably would. I usually lose in general.
Yeah. Conversely, I just want to look at the future of this thing. If it actually is billable as a computer/console, eventually, are we going to see PS3 laptops in which you could take to work and stuff? And is that the application that they're going for? And if so, why not just make a laptop? Why not just make a PS3 laptop? I would rather buy that than a computer console that just sits in my room next to my computer.
Because a PS3 laptop would cost, like, thousands of dollars.
Yeah, but then, yeah, of course. Oh, but then again, the cost is justifiable. I mean, think about it. When you see laptop and stuff, you think about a portable computer. Something that you can do things on the go. Okay, you could do it on a train. That to me is much more of a selling point than having
pornography on the train.
Exactly, but that's a much more higher selling point than having a bastardized computer in my room sitting next to my real computer.
You know what? One of the big differences is porn. Actually,
it is. No, it totally is.
When the PS3 has porn, I'll call it a PC.
PSP is a PC then.
Good point.
I have another remark that's been floating around my head about this thing.
Float away.
I think you said something, Ethan, about how this PS3/PC might be filling a gap in the marketplace as kind of an intermediary. I don't know if I interpreted that correctly from what you said, but I kind of feel like the PC is that gap filler, because you're talking about video editing, for example, music editing. I mean, you've got dedicated studios and labs where they do, you know, sound mixing. In a studio where they recording albums, you know, they got their mixing table and they got all that stuff. In a video studio where they mix movies together, you've got, you know, the same thing. You've got all that film editing stuff. And the PC is kind of there in the middle saying, you know what? You want to do this at home? You could do it. It's not going to be as good, but you can do it. And I would say the same thing about how video game consoles are on that, like, kind of upper, you know, elite end where, hey, you know, this is dedicated to video games and, you know, all your video games are gonna play the best on the console and stuff like that. But the anomaly here is that in many cases, the PC just does games better in terms of hardware prowess. If you get the higher end PC, it plays the games better, at least from a technology standpoint. So now I guess the market kind of looks like on the bottom there's the console, in the middle there's a PC, and then up in the upper echelon you got your music mixing studio and your video studio and your engineering studio. Like engineers use PCs too for like AutoCAD and stuff to build stuff. So I mean the PC is smack in the middle, and that's why it costs why a high-end PC costs $3,000 to $5,000, but doesn't cost as much as building a goddamn studio to record your album.
Right, I think that's my intent in saying.
And I have, by the way, I have no idea why I just brought that up, but whatever.
No. I think it's appropriate because my intent in saying that maybe it'll fill a gap is that you're right. Like the PC is kind of the gap in the middle, but so far, when at least at that price point, if you buy a $600 PC and you put it up against a PS3, the PS3 is going to blow the shit out of it. Because
absolutely.
I think there's a gap there that they may have recognized. They may have recognized that they can increase the price of their consoles and fill a gap in the PC market and in the game market where it's kind of this, there's this weird middle ground where it's like a high-end PC, but it's only $600.
Go ahead.
I mean, they haven't introduced, like, you know, the Office suite of applications, but I can't help but think that the power's there. They can certainly, the technology's there, they can totally run the stuff on the console, they're just not. And so if they've found a way to fill, in a marketing sense, that demand with a bunch of standardized parts, sell it for $600, and release it as like a PC, then they've really got something there, and there's going to be probably a whole new crop of systems like it that are in that price range that will play first-gen games, cost $600, like, which is kind of a low-end PC price. And like allow all these people who couldn't afford a PC to buy something that does all those things in one unit. So at least in their idea of what they're marketing to, I think that they've got something, that there's some market there that they're trying to reach. And I don't think it's such a terrible idea. I don't know if they've implemented correctly on this first generation of it, but the direction's probably got something to it.
Yep. I have to say I'm still going to maintain that they're just doing this to try to generate, excitement about something that's not even here yet. I still think that this is all a ploy, no matter what he says, you know, be it good or bad, you know, he's just trying to generate some excitement, something to make it different from an Xbox 360, which is already here, okay, or the Wii, which probably will come out before that, you know, and, you know, just something, because they have nothing now. They have something that may or may not be able to run Blu-ray. That's all they have, on paper. Maybe they're dicking around with it, who knows?
It's definitely gonna run Blu-ray.
I know it's gonna run Blu-ray, but I'm not saying it's not, just they don't know how well, because they're having trouble with the port and stuff.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, right now it just seems like it's trying to generate excitement for something that is just not here. It's conceptualized. It's in somebody's brain. You know? I mean, that's my point.
I think
you're right. Like, sorry. Go ahead, Austin.
I was just gonna say. I think that in terms of, you know, filling a gap or whatever. I just worry about. And I guess it's kind of a closed circuit that we look at. You know, I look at video game forums. I don't poll the people on the street about it, but when I see them talking, you know, a lot of them are excited about the PC for the games, yes, but at the same time, they're also like, well, you know what? God, I really want to play Metal Gear Solid 4, but why can't I play it on a normally priced console that doesn't saddle me with all this PC stuff? Why can't I just say, look, I want my console bare naked for games, and I want to play Metal Gear Solid 4, and I know you can give it to me, Sony, for $300 if you wanted to, you just don't want to.
Right.
So, yeah. are they really filling a market gap, or are they creating one out of their own desire to make people think that they deserve $600 per unit?
I'm gonna maintain that they're alienating their actual fan base, and I'm one of those, because I have no intention of even conceiving of ponying up $600 for a PlayStation, a PlayStation 4. Or 5 or whatever, okay, whatever else is going to come out.
PlayStation 69.
Exactly. If it's just going to keep on with this trend, you know, especially when we don't have the product, when we don't have anything tested. I'm not doing it. $600 is a lot of money for something that just isn't here.
I think another thing is, I think this is an implementation issue. It's not necessarily a marketing problem. If they're going to release something that is $600, it seems to me the likely market is someone who doesn't want to pay a lot of money for a high-end PC, but someone who still will buy a console and is willing to spend an additional $300 to get something in the middle. This is not that something in the middle. This is simply a ridiculously expensive console. That's the problem. That's why it's not going to work. However, if they had waited a little while, come out with another $300 console, and then done, you know, when they actually had it together and could do kind of an office suite of applications where you didn't need to buy a computer, you could really buy this one device for $600, you get a whole different audience.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? Did you guys ever see the trailer for Project Origami from Microsoft?
No.
No.
It basically was a piece, let's see.
Oh.
It looks, people were holding this thing in their hands. It was like something that was, I don't know, maybe about, jeez, I don't know how big, like 10, 7, like 5 by 10 or something is a pretty hefty unit. And they were playing Halo on it, and people thought, oh, this is going to be, you know, the portable Xbox and all that crap. That it ended up being Project Origami, which was all just an ultra-portable PC. And it's kind of like sitting there, and people go, I've got a tablet PC that does the same thing for a little bit less money.
Mm-hmm. Well, but this thing is
and
not...
Then I've,
sorry, go ahead.
And then I've got my regular PC at home that does... the stuff on this this origami thing 10 times better for about $1,500. What is this thing? You know, it's kind of like it's sitting there and it's like, okay, now find a home for it. It doesn't really have a home.
It's not out yet.
Right, that I know.
They're going to release this thing, and I think that again, Mike. I don't know. There may be something to this, like trying to market in the middle thing, because it's clearly like an Xbox portable. It's like. It's not a tablet PC. It's something you can run quite, you know, first-gen games on. It's a portable device, like a DS, but yet it does have all this PDA stuff. It's got a touchscreen. It's got a little stylus that you can write stuff. And
I wouldn't go so far as to call it an Xbox portable only for the intent factor, is that I think they intend to release it simply as exactly what it's called, an ultra-mobile PC, not as an ultra-mobile gaming system. But... it could have the. It said it had the potential to play Halo, but would you really want to play Halo on that thing? I wouldn't.
I'd rather play Halo on my PC.
What if you could carry that thing around and it ran Halo fine and it ran it at a decent resolution where you could plug it into a monitor?
I'm merely talking about the fact that hello, mouse and keyboard, no first person shooter. I will never play a first person. Yeah.
Yeah.
That actually kind of conveniently leads us to the second segment of this little PC / console thing is. Choose a side and fight for it. Or don't choose a side and be a pussy like me.
Wait, which what are we fighting for?
PC versus console.
Which one do we want?
Which one is better? Which one? Just throw the gloves down, bring your machetes out. Who's wrong? Who's right? Which one's better? Which one do you want? Blah, blah, blah. Just, you know, shed some blood here. I'll let Tony and Ethan go first, because I know they love, they like having room to themselves.
I'll pick whatever Tony doesn't pick. Because as long as... if Tony says it, then I know it's wrong, and I'll go the other way.
Oh, please.
Actually, wait. You know what?
Let's... you got a lot of nerve.
Wait. Our silent co-founder has been silent. So, Al, go first.
Sorry.
Good one.
Me,
good argument.
Water
it,
there.
It's bitches.
Yeah, and eating grapes. Bitches. Yeah, so... I'm kind of torn here, because... you know, everything has its little uses and stuff, and
pick a side.
When it comes to, you know, playing games and stuff, well, I'm gonna go with consoles for now.
Don't be talking no trash.
Although most of my time playing games is on a PC, and it's actually playing only one game, I can definitely find more relative enjoyment, like in an aggregate sense of the feeling. From consoles, because of the different choices and the ease of, adjusting from one type of game to another, even the physics of it, of just opening the tray and putting in the next game, as opposed to having to install a game and wait 10 hours to download the patch, City Heroes.
Shut up, Ethan.
And... you know, when it comes to portable gaming, it's also on the console, you know. I don't have a laptop, but even if I did, there would be a very limited use to how I could play my games portably. Like, I can play my DS at work.
That's a huge point.
I wouldn't be able to use my laptop at work because of the rules at the job.
Mm-hmm.
But I can get away with playing my DS because it's small enough that I can just flip it up, do whatever I need to do, and the DS is made conveniently so that if I need to flip it down for any reason, like if I have to take a call, if a manager's walking by or something, boom, flip it, put it on the desk.
Not even that. It's so much easier throw your PS2 in a backpack and take it to somebody's house or take it wherever you want to go than
now,
a fucking desktop, which is what you have to equate. You can't equate a laptop with a console because the hardware's not there.
No, you can't. You have to equate a laptop with a
desktop. I mean, you have to equate a desktop with a first-gen console.
Right, and you'd have to equate a laptop with a handheld.
Exactly.
And you got to equate a handheld with a sandwich. What?
Bitches.
Christ.
But,
be quiet.
Yeah, and then there's also the fact that, you know, you have a laptop and a desktop, and they're basically both the same piece of hardware with just smaller parts in the laptop. And you've got a handheld console, which is a totally different environment with totally different games. Although some of them are ports of console games, they're still different. And that's what I like about that. I like the fact that I do have versatility in my gaming depending on what I'm doing. If I'm going to be at home and I'm playing my PS2, I got Guitar Hero. You know, I could be throwing in an older game or maybe another type of PlayStation game. I'll go downstairs in my basement, play some Zelda or some Odama, you know, on my cube. Go to work, I got Phoenix Wright, Mario Brothers, Brain Games, stuff like that. You know, little things to do here and there, 15, 20 minutes, boom. So, that's what I like about consoles. When it comes to a PC, it's like, I'm playing Warcraft or I'm playing Guild Wars, and they're things that I have to invest time into. I can't just play for 15 minutes and go, because I'll basically not do anything. It'd be worthless. I might as well just spend that 15 minutes doing something quicker, like turning on my console and playing a game that I don't have to wait to load for that long. And the Antipode has spoken.
Antipode has spoken! Next.
Ethan.
All right, I picked PC.
You stupid son of a bitch.
100%. And I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because I'm, I've got, it's no secret, I've got just a ridiculous amount of money. And
Jesus Christ.
No.
Are you the Prince of Wales?
The reason I choose a PC is because I would rather pay a buttload more for a machine that'll run a game better than anything else. I really like the versatility, and I really like being able to check email and do work on the same machine that I play games on. It certainly has its drawbacks, like Al mentioned, in terms of portability, certainly in terms of compatibility. I mean, I've spent so much time reinstalling video drivers because, you know, something doesn't work right, and I have to reinstall my sound driver because something doesn't work right, and it takes a while to get the thing going. But once you get it going, it's way better than any console out there, in my opinion. First-person shooter on a mouse and keyboard, only way to go. Controllers
suck.
I can plug a controller into my PC, and I have every bit, you know, the best console on the planet. Almost every game that's released for the major consoles is also released for the PC. That's also handy. You actually have a wider margin, a larger number of games released for the PC than any individual console. And, I don't know, it's cooler. I like being able to upgrade it. I like being able to upgrade. I like being able to change parts. I like being able to have a better computer than all my friends.
No, just me. Just me.
No, everybody. And and thank you.
You're welcome.
And and I don't know. It's just it's so much better for me to sit in front of this one device that plays all that stuff. Where on a console, I feel like I'm really limited to the games that are coming out. I also feel the keyboard and mouse is a really huge thing. The way you interact with the game totally changes when you're using a keyboard and a mouse, and you have so many buttons on a keyboard that become part of the game that I think it enriches the experience. I think it's unfortunate that consoles haven't introduced some other method of input device where you can assign a ton of buttons the game. Oh.
You know what? It pains me that I actually agree with you. I hate
Holy
that.
Crap. This
yeah,
is ridiculous.
I do.
All right, well, I changed my mind.
Dun,
I think consoles... I think consoles are way better. I take it back.
Yeah,
PCs
right,
suck.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, I do have one little introduction here about the PC.
Yeah.
Although the library is much larger, the way that PCs evolve are kind of counterproductive to the older titles.
Agreed.
Playing totally. King's Quest on your computer now.
Yeah.
And you tap the right key and you go three screens and
yeah,
fall into a hole and die.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's running at like 50 billion times the normal speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's exactly, that's a good point.
And then if you try and play it at any kind of regular speed, then you have to sit there and hold the right key for like a year to go past one screen.
Yeah, this
because
is the overall
mechanically set to 3 frames per second.
Right, this is the overall like fit into compatibility problem. It's the same kind of, you just, you know, on the console, you buy a game, it will work in that console the same way from beginning to end. Period. Mm-hmm. You have that, and it's you have that set piece of hardware. Having like 9 desktops around with like a Switch to, you know,
awesome.
At different times in your life, yeah, that would be awesome, but it's just absurd.
Of course.
Whereas having 9 consoles, they're teeny. Throw them in a, you know, TV cabinet, no problem. Done.
Yep. Oh, if only PCs were made like consoles.
Nah. Well,
according
there,
to,
and therein lies the issue.
Yeah,
so Tony is up.
I'm sorry?
I said Tony's up.
Oh, and I said, well, if only PCs were like consoles, according to Sony, they might be not too far off from the future. And I still won't buy it. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I'd rather have something that you know, comes with a whole bunch of parts that I could buy from third-party manufacturers and, you know, just doesn't work because somehow I suck at it, then, you know, putting all my faith into Sony to give me something that is a computer console. I think it won't operate well.
But you would never have to restore an image.
No, I mean, like, I have no problem with playing, I have no problem with differentiating a game for a PC or a console. If it's on a console, it goes on my TV, it's fine. I don't, you know, I'm not sweating that it, the resolution is not as sharp. You know, I'm not sweating it at all, okay? However, if a game is made for a computer and a console, you will see differences with that. And yes, with the keyboard and the mouse, you will get a much more enhanced gameplay from it because you're actually interacting and doing a lot more things than you would do with a, you know, control pad. At the same token, I will definitely not be buying a mouse and a keyboard for my consoles. There's a difference. There's a line I have to draw. A PC is a PC, okay? A console is a console. I don't know how to mess up a console, but I'm sure as hell proficient at messing up a PC, and I enjoy having my friends fix that.
I also do have to say one thing. Clearly, we've totally missed a huge reason why PC is better than console, and that is porn. There may be porn available for consoles, but let me tell you, the library of porn available for PCs is absurd.
Only in Japan. That is
and,
true. There's an order
no,
of
Japan
nine.
Has
damn.
The mosaic
involved.
Austin, you're up.
Okay, so I will go first through the hypothetical and then just through the factual.
Mike!
Yeah, oh. put the mic in your mouth and then go through whatever you want.
Do that, yeah.
Fuck you.
That's kind of painful.
Hypothetically speaking, if the because it's all about the games, in reality. It really just comes down to the games. If all the games, the best games that are out on consoles, were out, you know, if they were ported to the PC, it'd be no question. I would spend the money. I would play everything on my PC. Like you said, Ethan, I can plug in a gamepad. I've got my mouse and keyboard. You know, I've got everything there. But the truth of the matter is, Half-Life 2 is on the PC. That's great. Far Cry is on the PC. That's great. PC does not have a single Mario game. PC does not have a single Zelda game. Does not have a single Final Fantasy game that's not Final Fantasy 11.
True.
It doesn't have the latest Metal Gear Solid games. Halo came to it late. It doesn't have any Resident Evil games, which except now Resident Evil 4 just came out for the PC, and it's probably a shitty, sloppy port. it does. I'm looking through my collection now. What else doesn't it have? It doesn't have a majority of the arcade races that are out on consoles. It doesn't have like sleeper hits like The Mark of Kree. It doesn't have Devil May Cry. It doesn't have a lot of things that people consider and that I consider top-selling titles. So, and this goes across all consoles too. You know, the Nintendo consoles don't have Metal Gear Solid 4. Sony doesn't have Mario. Xbox doesn't have Final Fantasy. So it all comes down to the fact that, hey, you know, every single piece of machinery out there for video games that has a viable library serves a purpose. And there's no way that I can actually sit down and choose one because of that fact. You know, if I had limited funds, I guess I would have to say I would choose a console. and keep my PC limited to productivity, because, you know, it just doesn't make sense to spend thousands of dollars to play only first-person shooters and strategy games that are unique. Because think about it. Look at look at any PC gamer's library. The only unique games they have are strategy games and first-person shooters. And adventure games, but they're kind of dead. So, you know, there's no way that I could actually choose a PC if I had limited funds. I would have to go the console route.
And if you didn't have, if you had,
because
money.
Because I don't have limited funds, that's where I said I'm gonna have to cop out. You know, I really can't choose. I'm spoiled. You know, I'm.
So wait a minute. Let me get this right. You came up with this debate, and you're telling me you're the only one of the four of us that can't choose.
No, he said that. Where were you? He said
I said
that
in the beginning.
It's just
come
ridiculous.
On, get with the program, man. Tired of you lagging.
I don't understand why. It has nothing to do with the fact that I didn't hear it. I'm fucking challenging him. You want to step up? Let's go.
Yeah, I will step
Let's
up.
Let's go. I'll meet you outside in 10.
I chose a side.
Done.
You didn't have
Whatever.
A problem with that.
No. I'm taking you down.
No.
Wait. Are you challenging me or Tony? Because Tony wants to fight you.
Oh, I'll challenge everybody.
And he'll lose.
I can handle my shit no matter who's at me. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Brooklyn Jew.
Yes, son.
You're a gorilla?
Yes, son. I'll stab you.
Well, Austin, let me ask you something.
No.
Yes, let me ask you if they actually did do some things with this system to make it more like a console and less like a computer. Would you?
What are you talking about? This system?
PS3.
Oh well, I mean, let's okay. I'll answer that one. I just want to steer away from keeping this as a Sony argument because it's not.
No.
But ask away. Ask away.
All right,
dude,
fine.
Ask.
Say there's a console being made, and I won't mention names.
Just,
okay?
just ask. That's fine. Just ask it.
Yeah. Okay.
we're running out of time here. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's
okay.
Go.
Fine. If they made a console more like a console and less like a computer, would you buy it?
For
I mean, would you feel
for $600?
No, not for $600. Absolutely
like,
not.
Like, okay. So the core of your question is if they made a console that was more like a computer.
No, less like a computer.
Less
instead,
like a computer.
Instead of marketing it as a computer, it's just less like a computer, just more like a really high-end console.
What kind of price point are you talking about here?
Well, let's see. Anywhere $400, I say.
No,
absolutely
not. No.
Really?
No. My
you would,
limit...
So you would
I,
want
I have
it
a very,
to have...
I have a very stringent price limit on consoles, and that's $300. I need to be able to walk out of a store having paid $350 plus tax and no more and be able to enjoy a game.
Okay.
So that means that is why I haven't yet bought an Xbox 360 because I'm not going to buy the crippled $299 pack. You know, and at $399 with a hard drive, it's almost reasonable. But I'm not walking out of that store under $350. So, you know, yeah, and it also money has a lot to do with it. There is a big factor. If you did give me a like gift card and said, hey, this would put you over the top of that threshold of yours. You now have no excuse to not buy a 360. I would say, you know what? You're right, and I'd go and buy one.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a very stringent price limit on that, probably because I spend so much time tinkering with my computer.
I don't know.
If it was $400, well, I just wanted to say this. If it was $400 in a higher end console that actually displays much more much better visuals than 360 or even the Wii that's going to come out and was something revolutionary, I have no qualms buying it instead of, you know, giving me something that may look marginally better and just telling me it's a computer. That's my point. Making a point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for me like there's no way that I'm going to fork out money for better graphics on a console. Because that's a luxury that I have with my PC, that if it came down to it, do I want to keep this luxury or do I want to just get more games?
Uh-huh.
I would say goodbye to the PC. Because
okay.
It's no... For me, being able to see the cutting edge of technology is cool and it's awesome and that's what I like about the PC, but it's not crucial to, you know, games and what games are about and what the artistic side of making a game that's fun to play is about. You can make it as pretty as you want, but if you're just going to make it a prettier game, it's a waste of time to me, and I don't want to deal with it.
All right, I got one hypothetical I want to go through. Everybody can say yes or no, and then we can wrap it up.
Sure.
Quickly, if PS3 were to debut at $600 with Microsoft Office included...
Not happening.
Hold on.
What, let him.
Yeah. Runs a Windows OS in a kind of dual boot function, like Boot Camp for Mac, so you can boot it to your video game proprietary OS and play games as a console...
or boot it to Windows and like run all your applications. Included a keyboard and mouse, hooked up to a TV or a monitor, and included both connections, and would run pretty much all the first-gen games, but in console mode, as a console, not in the same way that a PC does, where you have like all these variables in terms of resolution and all the other stuff. Just the good quality console, even on HD, you know, all that stuff. And it had Blu-ray. Would you buy it?
Yes. Am I going to have to upgrade it using the Sony store? Am I going to be able to play my PC games?
Well, yeah,
on
that's
it?
You will that's not be able to
play
happen.
You will not be able to play your PC games on it. And you uh-huh. will, yes, you will be able to upgrade it through the Sony. Like you will be able to buy upgraded parts only through Sony and only whatever they decide to release.
They don't have my money.
Well, that makes no sense. How would it not be able to play PC games?
Well, it's just a hypothetical.
No, because
it's a hypothetical.
Oh, okay.
Well, no. I'll tell you why the hypothetical might work is because in boot camp, if you boot into like a Windows operating system and not a non-native operating system to the console, you'll have performance issues. So maybe you'll be able to run the game, but it won't run right.
Oh, okay.
It just wouldn't make any sense for you to run games under Windows. But as a console, look, it'll run those games perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's fine.
The
I'm
point
not
is
it.
That you wouldn't get it.
No.
Tony?
I consider it.
Al?
No. It would have to be really cheap because I had a Dreamcast and I still have a Dreamcast and I still have a keyboard and I still have a mouse for that Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used internet a total of about 3 times when my broadband connection was down.
Okay.
So I actually used it for either something specific to my Dreamcast, like upgrading a memory card so that I can play a game that I would not normally be able to play because I bought the European Shenmue, and I had to patch my save file so I can continue that save. You can only do it on the internet through your Dreamcast. That was cool. But other than that, I mean, there's not really much use when I can just look at my computer and do everything I can do on that faster.
But you can replace it.
No,
I can replace.
No. In the PS3, with the dual boot, you boot to Windows, you have the same speed computer.
Can I play World of Warcraft on that PS3?
No, because they don't.
But then F it, because...
So, that's a good answer, because then for you it is. It's like Austin's answer. It's like, it's all about the games. Look,
right,
if you don't have the games, it doesn't matter.
Right, because you know, the fact that I primarily use my PC to play games nowadays, like if I was the kind of person that didn't use a PC to play PC games and I used a PC to play videos here and there,
mm-hmm.
go on the internet here and there, use the office and the office suite, I should say,
nipples.
Then in that case, I would probably consider using a PS3 for all of that because of the fact then, you know, odds are my PC would be slow as molasses. And I wouldn't care about the parts that go into it. And in that case, I would let someone else care about it, buy the PS3, do everything I need to do in one little concise bundle. But being that that's not the case, I can't have that. I can't waste my money.
I'd still consider it. I'd still consider it because I don't have a huge library of games for my computer anyway, and that's not really what I use my computer for. So if it could just run my applications that I use it for, then sure. You know, if it's going to be faster than my computer, sure. I would consider it, yeah.
If I'm going to step up to the plate here, listening to all this and just, you know, people reiterating their arguments about would you buy this in a hypothetical situation, this answer changes with time then, and I will choose a side, but it changes with time, it changes with the library that I'm presented to me, and I will say right now that the PC has no competition for the library that I have for my consoles, so I will choose consoles right now. As good as Half-Life 2 is, as great as Half-Life 2 is, it's phenomenal. I'm not going to give up all the Final Fantasy games that I have, all the Mario games that I have, Devil May Cry, things like that. I'm not going to give all those up for Half-Life 2.
Cool. Then you all give me your PCs, and I'll give you my broken Dreamcast, and we're settled.
Oh man! All right, we're closing shop.
We're actually
wrap that gavel up.
Before I wrap that gavel up, like I said, the answer changed to the time. 5 years ago, I would have said the PC.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Any parting shots from Mr. Noseman from Brooklyn? Since he seems to be the only PC person here, which is surprising to me.
Look, smart, good-looking people with better weapons choose PC.
With better weapons.
I got better weapons than all of you.
Yeah, whatever.
That's great.
Better wrap that up, B.
Wrap it up!
Meh.
It's been giggles.
It's been great, bitches. Thanks, anybody guys. Have any remarks, please send it to the mailbag at mailbag@trygames.net. If you can't spell it, then don't read our site because you probably can't read anyway. For Ethan, Tony, and Al, and myself, this has been the TryGames.net podcast. We're out of here. Go home.